It's most things, Kenobi. And don't try it, Anakin. We always have the high ground.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Most Things Kenobi, a podcast about Obi-Wan Kenobi and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Leanne.
And I'm your host, Lauren.
And we're transitioning from Obi-Wan's to Anakin's. So we just covered all of the actors who portray Obi-Wan Kenobi in various media roles throughout Star Wars. So we thought, you can't have Obi-Wan without Skywalker, so...
That's true.
Now we're covering the Anakins, and we're starting with Jake Lloyd, of course, because he started as little young Anakin, and then we will transition to yes. Hayden Christensen, which will be a huge episode, and then finish with the ever-amazing Matt Lanter, who voices Anakin yeah. in the Clone Wars. So, today is Jake Lloyd. And we have to put this out there, because Jake Lloyd has not had an easy life. And we want to acknowledge the importance of mental health, of taking care of your mental health, of acknowledging how important a role that mental health plays in all of our lives in varying capacities. And yeah. we want to do this episode by honoring Jake and his role as Anakin, but we also don't want to come across as crass. We know he's had mental health issues. We'll touch on those a little bit in this episode. And we just want to give the respect that Jake is owed.
Yes.
And as a fan base, I think that Jake Lloyd will forever be a symbol of how the fan base can and should do better. And I think as a fan base, we have done better.
Yeah.
We've seen the reemergence of so many characters that were, for lack of a better term, just mistreated in a way. The opinions of them were exaggerated and often false. And those characters have come back in ways that have redeemed them. And mm-hmm. Jake is still struggling with mental health and is getting better. His mother just said in March of 2024, this year, that he's doing much better. And so we want to pat him on the back from here at Most Things Kenobi, and also honor him this week for the important role he played as setting the foundation for who Anakin Skywalker becomes and where Darth Vader comes from.
Right, he's the origin story, basically.
And I remember seeing The Phantom Menace in theaters and thinking to myself, oh my God, this cute kid turns into Darth Vader, you know, because it was real. I was seeing it.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy to think that he's the first time you see Anakin ever.
Right, ever. It's wild to think of, and he's such a cute little boy.
I know, he really is.
He just embodied, like, that youthfulness, you know, because there's so many scenes of him in The Phantom Menace where he's, like, interacting with, what's his name, Yato? Is it Yato?
Watto.
Watto.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Who's Yato? Like,
wait, no.
Well, okay. Yato's his weird twin brother who's flying around somewhere else. But anyway, Watto. And how hard would that be? We know The Phantom Menace came in with all these new fangled ways of filming and high tech and da-da-da-da-da. So as a little kid, it would be really hard to talk to something that's not there. You know?
God, yes.
Crazy.
I actually wrote a note. It's funny you're saying this already because I wrote a
note.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
How...
Did I jump ahead?
No, not really. I mean, it was just something that I had noticed after going back and rewatching a bunch of his scenes. I feel like you can always tell an actor's weakness through their eyes. So if they're really self-conscious or like insecure, their eyes betray it always. And Jake Lloyd's never do. And Natalie Portman's do all the time.
Oh, shit.
I just think it's so interesting because she's older. She had been acting already. Jake Lloyd never done anything before. And so you can see, like, he was just really sincere. And so there wasn't this, like Natalie Portman blinks too much, or like her eyes kind of drift a little bit every now and then. And I think it's because she's acting to a tennis ball.
we always have to remember this in the prequels.
Exactly. So you can see that actually being a little kid with an imagination and being younger, that might actually play to his benefit.
Very true. I mean, he was a sincere little boy in the way he interacted with Qui-Gon. Oh, and Liam Neeson. I can't ever pronounce. I can't get the L's and the E's out. Liam Neeson always was so kind anyways and was like the perfect Qui-Gon and set the stage for who Qui-Gon is, right? Yeah. But his interactions with Jake Lloyd as Anakin came across really well, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't help but say that all of the acting around him is so flat that it makes Liam Neeson seem even more engaging as an actor.
when the bar is so low... Right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You get this sense. I mean, I remember when little Anakin is standing in the room in the, what is it? The council room, the big circle.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He just looks so tiny compared to Liam Neeson.
And, I know. Liam Neeson's huge. He's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah. And so it makes him even more diminutive, and I feel bad for him because, like, my God, you know what's going to happen anyway down the line. And
well, there's this scene where he takes Padme by the hand, Anakin takes Padme by the hand and leads her out of the room, and because Liam Neeson is so tall, they both look like children leaving the room. Yeah. There's like little kids running out to play or something.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. Funny. I mean, everyone always talks about, like, the Padme Anakin age difference.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal when they get older, but it's very noticeable.
Yeah.
In this movie.
It's so weird. It's true.
That's why, like, when you get in your 20s, when everyone's in their 20s, it's like you can't notice anymore. You don't know how old anybody. I don't know how old anyone is right now. Clueless. Yeah. If they're not very evidently a teenager, I don't know what age they are.
And even teenagers, I went and saw something on a college campus, and the college kids looked so young to me.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, because like, their skin.
You're so young.
Your skin's really good.
You're all so pure. Yeah, but they're not.
they're not. I mean,
no, but they haven't been beat up by life as much yet, so.
They're not jaded yet.
Yeah, it comes in time.
They're not exhausted. Yeah, chronically exhausted.
They're like tired from school and partying. Yeah. But it's different than being just run over by life as a freight train.
I cannot agree more with that statement if I tried.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that Jake brings just such an innocence and a sweetness and a warmth to Anakin that is
so much.
It's almost hard to believe that he could beat Darth Vader, except for this scene that they cut out where he beats up a kid.
Well, there's that. Clovis is coming.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. I do think, though, it's very obvious they're trying to set up parallels with Luke. You know, mm-hmm. He's the sandy-haired little boy. He's got the same outfit, basically, on.
Yeah.
You know, Shmi is like Aunt Beru. Their homes are very similar. And I noticed that Anakin enters the movie the way Luke does, but opposite. Like, Luke comes up the stairs from the inside out. And Anakin does the opposite. He comes down the stairs from the outside in and, like, moves the opposite direction of Luke. So there's this weird parallel where
Luke ascends.
Yes, and Anakin descends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like that.
It might have been no meaning at all, but when you look for meaning, you can see, like, I don't know. Does George Lucas do anything without it being intentional? I don't know. Probably, I think it's
intentional.
It seems to be. Like,
yeah.
The first time you see a character, it's usually very purposeful the way you see them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That was just something I noticed. But it's very obvious they're trying to connect it to Luke and A New Hope and show that parallel there, which is kind of funny. I'm looking at that, but I guess we're just looking at Anakin, but Padme's there too, you know, and there's a lot more Leia in her, I would say, in these scenes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure. She's gentle towards Anakin, almost like Leia is towards the Ewoks. Kind of timid,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
yeah.
Padme is so aloof. I feel like there's so much going on in The Phantom Menace with Padme. And I have so many fucking questions about those damn dresses and that hair. And
yeah.
Oh, it's a struggle for me because I've never liked Naboo as like a cultural epicenter in Star Wars. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. The architecture, the scenery, the waterfalls, the whole thing. But like, she just doesn't sell the role of what she's trying to be in the movie. She's so flat.
It's so bad. It's really bad. And I think that...
But she's meant to be flat, right? Because she's supposed to be an emotionless queen, right?
I think that they have kind Stoic. Of explained that after the fact.
Oh.
Honestly, I know that there's a book that says that the queens are all the same, so that it's all the same. You're getting the same kind of leadership, and you know, to also diffuse emotion, so they're very flat, and they even use their dress and gowns as a political statement and all of that. But I do think it's just because Natalie Portman is such a flat actress, and she is in a lot of other things that I've seen her in.
She is. Yeah.
She's great in V for Vendetta. I love that. But
when she's in the workshop and Anakin's there and he asks, "Are you an angel?" First of all, please. Please. I know it's supposed to be meant as like a child, like he thinks she's beautiful and he's never seen anyone like her, so she must be an angel, an angelic being. Yeah. But she doesn't even her I don't want this to be a Padme a Natalie Portman bashing session, but like, what is her response?
Like, what? I think she actually says, "What?"
And her face is like, I would literally have done it differently. I would have been like, I would have been more Leia. I'd have been like, "Well, what's your definition of an angel? Tell me. Like, have you seen many angels?" Like, I would have delivered some snark, but I guess she's supposed to be 13. I don't know.
Phantom Menace in general, like, I will
Questions.
Watch, but in general, it's not like the Questions. Greatest thing I've ever seen.
So. It's just, I want to credit Jake Lloyd for selling his role, whereas Natalie doesn't so much. So there's an imbalance there where I wanted like a little bit of childlike back and forth, and instead it was just, huh? or whatever version of that is in the movie. I can't remember. I haven't seen it. I didn't go back and rewatch anything, but
yeah.
I can't put myself through that. But I do like the pod racing episode, like the scenes, the pod racing scenes, because it's totally Anakin. I can totally buy that.
Yeah, it is.
The whole thing with that dude that walks on his front legs. What's
Sebulba.
His name?
Sebulba. Yeah.
Thank you. Can't stand him. the fact that Jabba the Hutt's in charge of all this shit, and you know where this is going.
I feel like they basically retold the A New Hope. It's in the same planet, and they have the same conflicts, but they solve it with the little version of Luke instead of grown-up version of Luke. I don't know. It was...
The same thing could be said about Force Awakens, though. It's kind of rinse and repeat.
Yes,
shuffle around a bunch of characters and names, honestly.
You're totally right. Put them in a desert, have some conflict, have someone show up that shakes things up. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
But it would have been cool if Anakin, little Anakin, would have had some kind of interaction with Maul.
Yeah, I guess he just sees him from a distance, really.
yeah, isn't it, he's running and like Qui-Gon's like, duck, and a speeder goes over his head, yes, or something.
And then at the end, too, there's basically Qui-Gon tells him to get in a ship and stay there.
Yeah.
And that's the last time Anakin ever sees Qui-Gon.
You're right, though. And that's very sad. Well, he sees him at the pyre, which is, yes, really, really scary because, yeah, Anakin will be on that pyre and Obi-Wan's, yeah, next apprentice, Luke, Anakin's son, is watching Vader's pyre. It's a whole fucking mess.
Yeah.
What do they call the legacy of, what do they call the and it, like, Ahsoka's legacy is by following Anakin, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon.
Oh, the Dooku disaster is, trio.
Yes. Well, the disaster, the legacy of disaster or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's
a shit show is what it is.
Yeah. Disaster lineage. Ahsoka is part of a Jedi lineage that fans have dubbed the Disaster Lineage. The lineage is passed from Yoda down to Ahsoka. So it's Yoda, Dooku, Obi-Wan, Anakin, Ahsoka, and then we'll end it there. But
yeah,
the disaster legacy, but not really. Not really.
They're like the best and the worst. Like the very best and the best. It's like
every other one.
Yeah.
You know?
Every other one.
Shit. Every other one. It
skips a generation.
Yoda's great. Dooku's bad. Obi-Wan's great. Anakin's meh. Ahsoka's great. We don't acknowledge anyone after her. So.
No, no.
You know.
But he starts a new branch of the family.
Yeah. True, true. Luke is like an offshoot. He's like the other piece,
yeah,
of the flow chart. It's like, exactly, Obi-Wan has two pieces of flow chart. Anakin's on one side and Luke's on the other, which is appropriate.
Well, it's impossible to research Jake Lloyd without touching on how shitty he was, yeah, treated. Like, there's just no way around it. And yep, he was 8, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. And 10 when the movie came out. And critics were hard on him. Fans, mm-hmm, were hard on him. And then he's, mm-hmm, even said that when he went to high school and college, people just wouldn't drop it. Like, it was constant. And I've watched some interviews with him from about like 13 years ago, give or take. Yeah. And every single one was at a con. And each one, the person interviewing him was doing some sort of gotcha moment with him, trying to bait him. Jar Jar sucks. Like, how does it feel to be one of the shitty performances in Star Wars? Like, horrible kind of questions.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like, at panels where they have fans stand up and ask questions. You know, like you said, as a fandom, we really need to do better. I just can't believe that people think it's okay to target a person like that. He was fucking 8 years old. He made no creative decisions at all about the character.
Truth. Yeah. And I referenced in the opening of this episode that some have come back and have been redeemed, such as Ahmed Best,
mm-hmm,
who was Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for us, if we haven't started already, truth be told, I don't research it enough on social media to know. But I think that some credit is due to Jake for his representation of young Anakin, because he does deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
He did not deserve the berating and the gotchas. Like, that's just smarmy. That's slimy, yeah, and tasteless and uncalled for, honestly.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Hayden when he had to distance himself after a period of time from acting altogether, because, mm-hmm, after so much of that, you can only take so much of that. And so you need to distance yourself. And now, it was said that Jake Lloyd's mental health deterioration over time was not a result of, or at least not a direct result, from the treatment he received during his time acting, no, in Star Wars. But of course it contributes. Mental health issues crop up later. They start young, and they crop up later. Like, they really present themselves as far as I know, okay, my
yeah,
my own experience plus reading stuff. But he is in treatment, so that's excellent. That's mm-hmm. that's acknowledging you have a problem, that's seeking help for said problem, and learning to live with it, because a lot of it you just can't get rid of, you know?
Well, and from what I've read, he's a paranoid schizophrenic. I don't know if that's true or accurate or even a diagnosis that's used nowadays, but I had some friends in high school that developed it, and that generally in men, from what I've understood, I'm not an expert, I don't know. What I understand is most men present those symptoms in their early 20s. And you might not know that's what's happening to you. So people could be interviewing you and you might act a little awkward and they're like, oh, what an awkward weirdo. It's like, no, this is a person who's having a mental health thing that didn't even know it necessarily. Like the friends of mine I've had who were diagnosed with schizophrenia, they were lucky that they had a family member who also had it. And they said, they went to this family member and said, I'm feeling weird. Some weird stuff is happening because it involves hallucinations and like paranoia. And luckily that family member was able to get them help right away. But some people don't know that they're having hallucinations. That's the problem. My grandma was having them right before she died. She had no idea she was hallucinating. She just thought it was normal.
Well, when you're living it, unless you can step outside it or have someone outside of you bring it to your attention. I mean, I don't know how one lives. I'm trying to speak about this with respect, and I don't. I don't have it, so I can't comment directly, but it seems like it would be a really hard thing to live with and not know you're living with it.
Right. And have the world's scrutiny on you.
Yes. Yes. That I was just going to say. And to have everyone looking at you and seeing something that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It would make me paranoid in the sense of I don't want to talk. I don't want to go to another interview. I don't want to be around people, which probably makes symptoms worse because you're retreating. I don't know. We're not experts. We're just...
Yeah, I mean, it's just human nature, right? With if you go to a con and get interviewed, and every time you do, it's a really unpleasant experience. Why would you want to keep subjecting yourself to that?
Correct.
Then layer mental health problems on top of that. I think it's really important for people to realize that when you're jumping to conclusions about a person, you don't know what that person is dealing with for real every day.
True. It's very true.
So if you're accusing someone of being awkward or rude or too forward or too shy or whatever, maybe you should stop and think, maybe there's something going on with them that's none of my business, but I could cut them some slack. You know, like I think we just all need a little bit more empathy and kindness, and our desires for Star Wars could maybe take a back seat to kindness and compassion, you know?
Yes. These are actors and actresses who are handed a script and told to do A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And they do it. That's their job.
Exactly.
If we have critiques, we have to critique a much larger picture. And remember that this is fantasy. This is fake. At the end of the day, this is an escape. These individuals are lucky to be a part of this universe, and we should, you know, the Star Wars universe.
Right, right.
They deserve some respect as human beings and as actors and actresses doing their job, whether we like it or not.
Right, and you're allowed to not like it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're taking the words out of my mouth.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, how many times do we sit here and talk about how we didn't like the direction The Last Jedi went, but we respect Mark Hamill's ability to act through it beautifully, and do his job, like, period.
Yeah.
There's respect in that. So
there's no taking...
A child.
Yes, oh my God. A child who's not even equipped to deal with talking to strangers, much less, you know, the fandom's attack journalism.
Oh my Lord. Can you imagine... I can't imagine being critiqued so heavily and not, I mean, at 8 years old, what do you know?
I would have I would have been destroyed. The kind of person that I am, that would have ruined me forever. So I,
He's just a kid, and he did well, and he didn't deserve it. So we're not here to scold anybody. It's just when you, when you're years later along in this fandom and you look back, you think it wasn't that bad. We joke about like everyone's flat and Natalie Portman's flat and blah, blah, blah. Because it's just a show, you know?
Yeah, but we would never like get her on a stage at a con and be like, hey, oh, why was your acting so terrible? Like,
there's decorum, folks.
Jesus. I think that people, especially now with the internet, they're hiding behind anonymity, so they think they can say whatever they want and there's no consequences for that. And that is just like, don't be a shitty person. Like,
period.
Yeah, like print that on a t-shirt. Like, that's basically the bare bones of what we're trying to say. Like, you can think whatever you want. It's the, it's the age-old phrase. Like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. Like, you don't have to say something rude right to a person's face, even if you believe it. Maybe it's more important to not crush a person than for you to get your opinion out there. You know? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, I have feelings about it.
Well, shit, dude. This, we're talking about someone who had one appearance in one, like, an appearance in one movie.
Yeah.
And has had a really difficult life ever since. And to ignore it would be just tone deaf.
Right.
And
right.
That's not what we're here for. And it kind of just goes back to stop being a shitty person. Because, look, he's doing what a lot of people don't have the ability to, don't have the mind to, don't have the means to. He's getting help for it. And his mother said, March 2024, his mental health is improving during his hospitalization. And we commend that most of all. Because guess what? Anakin never sought that shit out.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's really, taking the step for your own mental health is sometimes one of the hardest things you do because it's really scary. And what you could be doing is unlocking a Pandora's box, you know? And if you're getting the right care, you'll work through that, you know, with support instead of trying to just thrash around on your own. So if anyone is suffering, you know, seek help if you can. And even if it's, you know, BetterHelp is a great example. You can get care in your home. You don't even have to leave, you know, something.
It's, even if you reach out to a friend, just support. Yeah. I mean, I want to make the link between Jake Lloyd and Anakin because Anakin had issues. We talk about it all the fucking time. We're going to talk about it in the next two episodes.
Yeah.
Because these are the Anakin episodes. And I think it's commendable. Jake Lloyd is an example of when you have issues and you seek help and you start the path to bettering yourself and everyone around you is lifted up. You know, you're taking care of yourself and in turn the people around you are seeing improvements in their lives and stuff. So it's kind of this ripple effect. Or you could be Anakin Skywalker and have issues and everyone around you ignores it. You ignore it and you turn into Darth Vader. Okay, so this is an example of where you don't want to turn into Darth Vader. I don't mean to make light of it, but you know what I mean. Like, there's two paths here. The path to the light, path to the dark. Star Wars.
How many times have we said a simple conversation might have saved all the drama and Star Wars happening?
Anakin, if he'd have just had a few conversations that went a little deeper and people didn't ignore the very glaringly obvious problems, we might have had a different outcome. But he was the chosen one. So the wills. We'll blame it on the fucking wills because we have no other way of explaining it. The fucking wills.
I know, we need a shirt also that says fuck you, wills.
W-H-I-L-L-S, because everyone named Will would be like, pardon me.
Yeah, that's true. Not you, sorry.
Yeah, not you, Will, but the Wills. This one with an H. Will Wheaton.
Yeah, Wills. We gotta say
Wills.
Like we're from.
Does anyone know that reference? I'm sorry if you don't. It's Family Guy. Okay.
Whipped cream. Whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
Wills. Okay. Listen, we're here for you, Jake. Thank you for portraying a wonderful young Anakin and setting the stage for all of the Anakins to come. Because he was our first look at live-action Anakin ever. Amazing. So our next episode is going to be all about Hayden Christensen. I mean...
It's about time.
This is an episode that has needed to be recorded, but now we have the opportunity. We have a lot of material to cover.
Yeah. Even more now because of the last few years.
The Obi-Wan series, the Ahsoka series. We have so much material to cover. It may be one of our longer episodes. We'll see, but it's going to be amazing. So join us back here as we cover the Anakin Skywalker, Hayden Christensen.
So last week we wrapped up our Obi-Wan series and we asked our listeners, who is your favorite Obi-Wan and why? And our friend Ben wrote this to me. My favorite Obi-Wan actor is James because how much he cares for his fans as well as the staff of any event he's attending. And Ben knows this because he has been the staff at an event James has been at.
He has, many times.
Yes. During Star Wars weekends, he would go around saying hi to all the cast members, and he convinced Mark Hamill to join him once.
Amazing.
I would have died.
I know. Passed right out. That would have been me.
Yeah. There is also something I do want to say really quick, because I was listening back to one of our episodes, and I was saying that people had written in to answer a question, and I said they were too long to read, and I meant on the show. I just wanted to specify that. Because I never said that, and I thought I had clarified it in the episode, but I didn't. So we read everything you guys send us, mm-hmm. always. If I say that, I mean it, like, it's too long to read on the show, because sometimes we get very long stuff. But please don't take that as a, don't send us stuff. We love it. Please send it. We love reading all your comments, all your feedback. It's always great. So thank you.
Can I just add, Lauren showed me a picture of Stephen Stanton. She showed me a picture of Stephen Stanton as, like, cosplaying as Tarkin. And oh my God, folks.
Isn't it crazy?
It is insane. I had to do a double take. I was like, damn, he's like a young Tarkin. Like, it was good. It was
I'm going to post it, I think, at some point. Because it was. I was just like, this makes too much sense.
It does. It was really good. And so that's my comment about, that's my answer to the question of like, damn, Steve.
He could play it in live action, you know.
He really could. He really could.
Yeah.
He really could.
Because he insane. Does the voice already, and he already looks like the character. Like, he should, come on, Disney, make this happen. I'm all for it.
Damn. So good. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Most Things Kenobi podcast. We appreciate every single one of our patrons and are grateful for your support. If you would like to support the podcast and become a patron as well, head over to the Most Things Kenobi Patreon. As always, you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you enjoy our podcast, we always appreciate you rating us on Spotify and or Apple. And if you need just one place to find all of these, head over to our website, mostthingskenobi.com.
So until next time, my space twin, may the force be with you.
Always.